With 4 months to go before the second African synod takes place, bishops from the Interregional Meeting of Bishops of Southern Africa, or IMBISA, are setting out their agendas. My colleague Emma McCarthy spoke with Cardinal Wilfred Fox Napier, Archbishop of Durban in South Africa, who was here in the Vatican. He spoke to her about issues and concerns the bishops plan to discuss at the synod, as well as about the preparatory meeting that has recently taken place.
Today we're dealing with the lead-up to the second African synod, which will take place here in the Vatican in October 2009. My first question would be to do with a more recent event regarding the synod. You yourself said that you have recently taken part in a preparatory meeting with other bishops from the continent of Africa. Can you tell us a little bit more about this meeting, what was discussed, and the bishops and the nations involved in this meeting?
The purpose of the meeting was to get the bishops of the Southern African region, called IMBISA, which stands for Interregional Meeting of Bishops of Southern Africa. And it includes the bishops of Angola, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and then all the countries to the south, 9 countries altogether, 5 bishops' conferences. And the idea was, look, we've got a Southern African region. There are certain common issues and problems there. Let's go to the synod with a common view on what the issues are. Poverty, unemployment, crime, corruption, these are some of the issues that came up. But the justice and peace issues were also very much there, and the need for reconciliation. Every one of those countries has been through some turmoil in the last while. In Zimbabwe at the moment, it's still the political parties and the people are largely divided along ethnic lines. So the need for reconciliation is quite obvious there. Angola, Mozambique had those long wars of liberation against the Portuguese, and that also split the population. South Africa, of course, had the apartheid thing. So each of those countries needs to tackle the question of reconciliation. But we are not going to get very far with reconciliation unless we put standards of justice in place and a mentality of looking for peace. I think that's basically what we came together for. So what we've done is we've worked out a common approach on a certain number of the issues, and I think the president of IMBISA will make that his intervention during the synod. Other members of the different conferences down there will take on other aspects of the questions that were raised during that meeting.
Now, of course, this is the second African synod, which obviously indicates there was a first African synod. Taking a step back in time, just for a moment, what do you feel, as a leader of the church on the continent of Africa, has been the greatest success and outcome of that first African synod?
I think the mere fact that you could get the leadership of the church in Africa, together with the Holy Father, and representatives of the other the universal church, other elements of the universal church, the other continents, because every continent was represented in one form or another. Just to get that and get all the issues of Africa being discussed in Rome with the Holy Father for a full month, I think that was just simply phenomenal. But for me, one of the outstanding things of that was the opening mass, during which banjos and drums were for the first time used in St. Peter's, to my knowledge. And even the Pope was seen tapping his feet in rhythm with the thing. It just gave a whole new ambience to the church. And I went back saying, look, if we can use these things in St. Peter's, there's no reason why we can't use them in our own cathedrals and parish churches and so on. It gave, I think, the African church an opportunity to put the way it's living its faith in front of the universal church and the world. That was, for me, the great memory.
The continent of Africa has often been called the great continent of hope. We know that a lot of the vocations in the universal church come from the continent in Africa, not just priestly vocations, but also religious vocations in female institutions and orders, etc. What would you see as being the biggest challenges in the lead-up to the African synod, first of all? What are the hopes that you hope to see fulfilled from this second African synod?
Let me take this in several parts now. First of all, the question of the continent of hope, the church of hope, if you like. That is very true, but for a number of reasons. And one of those reasons is quite simply this. The fact that so many African countries do not hold the control of their future in their own hands means that they are hoping that things will work out better for them. The people are in a similar situation where you've got corrupt governments. They're not really concerned about what's good for the people. They're concerned about preserving what's good for them. And so the hope element is there. It's a matter of, if we can't have control over our own destiny, we have to place our hope somewhere else. Otherwise, we'll be hopeless. And I think that's one of the ways in which one can understand the continent of hope. The other one, I think, is that simply over so many catastrophes and disasters, there seems to be a rising above them all the time. No matter how bad things go, the African spirit just seems to come up in the end. And I'd say a lot of that has to do with the faith in a God that is not abandoning his people and will not abandon his people. Now, coming up to the synod, as far as the synod is concerned, why is it a synod of hope? That's what we call the first one. It was because we saw this as an opportunity for the church in Africa to identify what its issues were. And I think in that process, we discovered a lot of strengths that we had. So it was not a case of, we were just concentrating on the negatives. No, we saw a lot of positives. For instance, one of the chief topics of that first synod was justice and peace. Now, in many countries, the church hadn't yet got JNP commissions into place, so it wasn't making an impact on society, but there were places where it was. South Africa was one of them, where we had a very active Justice and Peace Commission. In fact, so good was our Justice and Peace Commission that after 1994, it was in demand elsewhere. Come and show us how to do this. Come and help us to set up our own. So that brought about a level of exchange that had never existed before. And for South Africa, it was very good. We'd had all those years of isolation. And all of a sudden, people are wanting to hear the story that we've got. And up to last September last year, that's when I went to Burundi with one of our, the director of the Dennis Hurley Institute, Peace Institute, which is doing a lot of this work of workshopping justice and peace. And in December this year, we are going to Ethiopia, the two of us, his Father Sean O'Leary, and I think there may be another person as well, to meet with the bishops there and to bring across the same, more or less the same message.
Now, in your own diocese, we saw this year the publication of the lineamento, or the guidelines leading up to the synod, to help not only the priests and bishops prepare for the synod, but most importantly, to help the people in local parishes prepare and help give their contribution towards the synod. In your own archdiocese, how have they been preparing for this synod? What has been the feedback so far?
I must make a very, very honest confession. We have concentrated so much in our diocese in the last 2 years on the whole theme of evangelization that to introduce a whole different thing, there wasn't that element of participation in the preparation for the synod as there had been in the previous one. The first session of the synod, there was much more participation, like in enculturation and things like that. The feedback was mainly in the form of things that we have been trying since the synod had come out with those five themes. Evangelization was the general umbrella theme, and that's where we really concentrated our efforts in Durban since the last synod. The other areas were justice and peace, and we've got a fairly active JNP commission in the diocese. Enculturation is one of these things that I think you've got to let it happen. You can't make it happen. Communication is still a weak one. We're not very good on the communication side in our conference and certainly in the Archdiocese of Durban. And then the dialogue and interreligious and ecumenical dialogue, there's been quite a lot of action going on. I've been very active with a group that is has formed an interreligious council, and we meet every month or every couple of months as an executive to look at ways in which we can bring the programs that we are doing together in our own religious communities, bring those into line or partner with government in various ways. And we're still at the beginnings of that stage, but it's very encouraging to find how people from different religious backgrounds are finding each other and finding that we're doing so many things, so many of the same things, that we would be much more effective if we did them together.
Another synod, another pope. We saw Pope Benedict XVI's first visit to Angola and Cameroon this year. What do you hope to present to Pope Benedict as you bring the Synod of African Bishops and the Church of Africa to him here in the Vatican in St. Peter's?
I think we ought to give him another taste of what he had in Cameroon and Angola, and that was a very lively church, a church that maybe has many weaknesses, but it's got a faith that is exuberant and that is right up there. You know, you can't avoid believing when you're with a church like that. And it's the ordinary people. I mean, after that main mass on the Sunday that he was in Angola, I could not believe it. It was total chaos. Everywhere there was chaos. We were supposed to be in VIP convoys, and we sat for hours getting out of the place. But there was such a spirit of, we've been with our Pope, we've been with our bishops, we are Catholics and proud to be it. It was really wonderful. And I think the Synod will bring that to him, and to Rome in particular. This experience of a faith that is believed and is exuberantly expressed.
Help re-evangelize Rome, maybe?
I think so. I think in many ways we are contributing towards that, yes.
Thanks there to Emma McCarthy for that interview with Cardinal Wilfred Fox Napier, Archbishop of Durban in South Africa.